In complete dependence upon the Lord, I will draw your attention to Psalm 61, the book of Psalms, Psalm 61, and the second verse. Psalm 61, verse 2. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. The book of Psalms, Psalm 61, the second verse. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. David was a mighty man, a mighty man, a man of valor. When he was young, he seemed to, as it were, fear nothing. Of course, he was being prepared for the kingdom. And do we realize the truth that all things, all events, even the smallest circumstance is all appointed of God if we are His. Even for the wicked that are not His, it is so. The Lord's eye is upon all of us. Not an affliction, not a sorrow, nor a trial can rise without the Lord commanding. But all for His dear people, under the grace, the guidance, the love of Jehovah, it is all sent in mercy. The long waiting times, the response from our heart, the exercise that comes up from our heart, is all under His hand. Now, dear David, in these three psalms we've read, particularly 61 and 63, and even in the preceding psalm, 60, which we didn't read, there seem to be, in times of a time of great trial, places of distress, sorrow. And if we are familiar with his life, as we read God's word, we realize how the Lord overruled, how he reigned, how he led David, how he allowed the hatred of Saul to be against him. Murder was in Saul's heart, and the many trials of the kingdom, the enemies, the sons in his own house that rose up against him, Adonijah and Absalom, all appointed. And it was sent for correction to David, for instruction in righteousness. It was sent in mercy to his life. So then, as we make these opening remarks on the text this morning, may we realize, and I emphasize when I read, it's from those places we cry to God, from the end of the earth, and then when my heart is overwhelmed, when it is overwhelmed. It isn't always overwhelmed, is it? Not always overwhelmed. We're not always at the end of the earth, are we? But sometimes we are. And I don't know why this word seemed to lay upon me yesterday morning. Perhaps there's a reason. Perhaps someone here is at the end of the earth as they, in their soul, feeling And let us consider what we mean by the end of the earth, what the psalmist means. What is the mind of the Spirit in this? That's the issue, isn't it? Well, dear friend, first of all, guilt, shame. Do we know anything about it? Under divine teaching, be made a sinner before God, and you'll be at the end of the earth. Your heart will be overwhelmed with fear when we realise the awful nature of God's holiness. Now that's one experience. We've known it. But be assured of this. If the Lord is dealing with anyone here thus, it will be for their salvation. And by, it's a preparation for the washing, for the blessing, for the great shedding abroad of Emmanuel's love in your soul. And that is why you're brought to cry. Another matter, of course, is affliction. Afflictions bring us to see, says the hymn writer, what else would escape our sight? How very foul and dim are we, and God how pure and bright. The ends of the earth in affliction. You know, afflictions, all afflictions, left untreated, usually, for the most part, terminate in death. Or may not be death, but the issue is a life of suffering and pain. We know, of course, modern medical provision, very wonderful to our bodies, alleviates and can heal. But oh, may we be led further than that. May we be led to the real healer, Jesus. I am the Lord. Remember this, friend, if you're in affliction. I am the Lord that healeth thee. It may only be for a season, but there's a purpose in the healing. It is the touch of Jehovah, his grace, upon thy body, upon thy life, for a purpose of glory. And you know, dear friends, healings, afflictions when sanctified, healing made known to an exercised living soul are tokens of his love, healing, forgiveness, God returning. The glory of the forgiveness of our sins is a great healing to the soul, is it not? What a healing, what a balm, what a softening, what a comforting is forgiveness, the Lord Jesus. And he shows us how he forgave us in striking the Father, Jehovah, striking his Son. Friend, have you been led into meditation of Jesus and his sufferings? The Apostle Paul wrote to the Corinthians, saying unto them, he was determined to know nothing among them than Jesus, yes, Jesus the Son of God, Jesus exalted, Jesus now ascended, Jesus the Eternal Son. But he added, and him crucified. It's a personal blessing. Crucified for me. And he was determined to know nothing among them save that. Save that. A precious Christ dying in my place, suffering what I deserve to relieve me, release me, to save me, a personal saviour. How have we come to chapel? How have we come to chapel? I'll search. Some sentimental emotion just assuming that because I pray I'm saved. Jesus crucified. Dying in my place. A precious, precious gospel. A rising up. Friend, a revelation, a touch of that. Rise up, my love, my famine. Come away. Come away from all thy sorrow, all thy fear, all thy shame. Rise up. Jesus died for thee. Another end of the earth, I must move on. From there, this tribulation, difficulty, trial in the pathway, the hiding of the Lord's face. And David knew this. David knew it. David, a man after God's heart, one with the Lord, a very type of Christ. David knew what it was. And why? Friend, why are we brought to those ends of the earth? Now, consider Emmanuel at the ends of the earth. See how grace meets the needy, the poor, the sinner, when we are brought to the ends of the earth in ourself. The end of the earth, of course, speaks of a far-off condition. Afar off. Think how precious Jesus. Oh, are you affected? Do you love him? Has he loved you? Think of his sufferings. Forsaken. Think of the eternal union in the Godhead, Father, Son, Spirit. Yet, because of sin, because of our sin, the Father, as it were, hid his face in the experience of Emmanuel. And Emmanuel suffered like his people suffer. Like you suffer. You fear God's hiding his face in circumstances, in trials, in losses, in afflictions. So did our Lord. Come where we are. He came where you suffer, where I suffer, to redeem us. Now consider him. The end of the earth. Well, is there anyone at the end of the earth in soul feeling? In great straits, in pathway, I don't know. Affliction, fear. Even one feeling to be under the rebuke of Jehovah. Perhaps a longing for the Lord to bless. Long waiting time. Friend, a waiting time is a trying time. But it's under God's purpose, you know, to humble us. A waiting soul is being humbled, waiting for the blessing. Think of the man at Bethesda's pool. Friend, what a humbling. He saw others step down, others healed, others favoured. He couldn't do anything. Have you been to chapel for many years, perhaps, longing for the blessing, the favour of Jehovah, the heavenly touch? And as it were, the Lord passes by, and another, he passes by and blesses another. So trying, it gives an experience of being at the end of the earth in a far off place. You know, there's something wonderful about David's breathings here. From this place, from this experience, from the ends of the earth, will I do what? Cry unto thee. Cry unto thee. Sometimes under the ends of the earth we may feel, well, can the Lord hear me in such a dark place as I am? Can the Lord hear you, little you? Well, you know, when the Lord favours his people, prior to that, he makes them very little, very small in their own esteem. So there's a wonder, how can God hear me? Why should, can you, Can you have any reason why God should hear you? Are you taught this? Why should God hear me? I'm nothing. I'm a sinner. Why should he look upon me? He does in grace, you know. Grace. Only by grace. For the wonders of grace. A God of grace. A God of mercy. A God of compassion. Will I cry unto thee? Now let's go back to the thoughts a few moments ago. This same Jesus, this blessed Emmanuel, you know, he was brought to cry unto his Father. Read it in Psalm 22, Psalm 69, Psalm 102, Psalm 88, Psalm 6, Psalm 38. See, there the psalmist in meditation is led, especially in some of those Psalms 22 and 69, so plainly concerning the dear Redeemer and his sufferings and how he had to cry to his Father. Think of the mighty Son of God, who is the judge of all flesh, now exalted, who will come King to raise the dead from the earth at the great assize, praying in all humiliation, like unto his brethren, praying to his Father, that he when exalted, and he did before anyway, he's still the Son of God, ever was the priest, but now established, manifest in flesh as our great high priest, made knowable. Now sympathizing. Friend, he knows where you've been at the end of the earth. He's been there. The Lord Jesus has been at the ends of the earth for his people. So he knows and understands how you feel, where you are. But of course, from there, will I cry unto thee when? And we don't seem to cry until we have that when my heart is overwhelmed. Overwhelmed with a sense, when will these sorrows end? Is there an end to this trial? Will my life end in confusion? Will the Lord hide his face? Am I made aware again of my sins? I deserve his wrath. I deserve to be deserted. Yet but for friend grace. Matchless grace, says William Gadsby. Grace, wonderful grace. We'll cry unto thee, cry unto thee. What a mercy to be able to cry. Friends, you know, when I was younger, the children used to cry in the night, and having to get up early at times, I used to see if, thinking, now, is Jenny awake? Will she go there? But she was sound asleep. And rather than wake her, I'd get out myself with perhaps just an hour of the night left for me and attend to them. Sometimes we used to leave them, of course, to cry a bit. But it used to, when I got up, I used to say, dear Lord, do attend to my cry. When I cry to thee as well, as I attend to my children's cry, attend to my cry. You know, he is a father. He is called the everlasting father. And we are born of him, born again, the second, the new birth. Remember, it's the Lord Jehovah that quickened, made alive. See, there's a love of a father there. The care of a father over the crying, poor, needy one. It's a tremendous truth, a wonderful truth. Will I cry unto thee, my Father? Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer, and so forth. O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee, my flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. See, there's the end of the earth, where no water is. No supply. The Lord hiding his face. No comfort. I will still cry unto thee. Would I cry unto thee? Prayer. Prayer. That, Lord, help me. How often do you pray, Lord, help me? Do you know, dear friend, the Lord hears every one of those utterances. The times you've cried, Lord, help me, in a very faint and weak way. Yeah, the Lord hears every one. Every utterance. Omnipresent. God, omniscient. A wonderful truth. Omniscient. All-knowing. He instructed us, did he not himself, dear Jesus? He said, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. I'm sure from time to time when you comb or brush your hair, now and again there's a hair comes out with the comb or the brush. Numbered. You can hardly believe it, can you? Numbered. Numbered. Your days are numbered. Your downtimes are numbered. Your cares are numbered. David's every footstep was numbered. Numbered. And what a mercy to pray. A great high priest sits on the throne, full of grace. I love that hymn, you know, 120. But I will just turn to it. With joy we meditate the grace of our high priest above. His heart is made of tenderness. His bowels melt with love. And when you're at the ends of the earth, that's when you long to feel the truth. His bowels melt with love, in compassion, in grace toward you. You know, touch with the sympathy within. He knows our feeble frame. He knows what sore temptations mean. For he, as the Son of God, has felt the same. He's felt temptation. You know, a lovely word he said to his dear disciples, I think it's in Luke, ye are they which have continued with me in my temptations. Wasn't just for the disciples. Dear pilgrim, you've continued with Christ. You're in temptation. You're now following him. There were his temptations concerning sonship, concerning your standing. Christ was tempted by the enemy of his sonship. You look into God's word and see how Satan tempted him concerning his sonship. And that's where you're tempted. Drawn away from the grace of the sonship, the enemy tempts you away. He, in the days of feeble flesh, poured out his cries and tears, and in his measure feels afresh what every member bears, every member of his mystical body. Will I cry unto thee? The wonders of the throne of grace, there he sits. Friend, he doesn't just hear prayer, he willingly hears prayer, and the God, the Father, as Christ intercedes. You know, that's the name the Father loves, to hear his children plead. And all such pleadings he approves and blesses them indeed. Chosen in him, in Christ, all the love of the Father with to the Son, the love of the Son to the Father, the wonder of it, and the Holy Spirit. You see, that's the Father's pleasure. All things were given to the Son. Remember all things. Glorious truth. You can go to Christ as you plead his name. So the Father smiles on thee. In all your need will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed. When it is. But I want to come to the latter part, for this is the grace, the wonder. Lead me. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Now it seems David is crying to God in the Trinity. And we often, when we pray in that sense, we pray to the Trinity. For when we pray to the Son, don't be afraid to pray to Christ. Many get worried at, I've been asked the question, but who do we pray to? Do we pray to the Father, or do we pray to the Son? The Lord Jesus taught his disciples to pray, Our Father which art in heaven. And in public churches that's often repeated. But dear friend, you cry to the Trinity. And you can go to the Son, the Mediator, the High Priest. And in doing so, you glorify the Father. And the Father hears you through his Son. His Son's intercession, a glorious truth. And it's to pray in the Spirit when we pray and plead Jesus' name. He says, lead me. As David prays to the Trinity, he says, lead me to the rock. Lead me to the Son. O Father, God of heaven, lead me to thy blessing in thy Son, my refuge. O to the Spirit, blessed Spirit, lead me to the rock. There's a rock. God has provided a rock. God has provided a hiding place. God has provided a foundation, a shelter. Let us consider this. A rock. Rocks can't be moved. I'm speaking of high rocks. You can't move a rock naturally. We know, of course, at the end of time, without being pedantic about it, that the rocks will break asunder and will burst asunder with fervent heat and melt, but we're speaking here of a glorious type of Jesus, a rock immovable, which means that grace is immovable in Christ, cannot be removed. The covenant of my peace shall never be removed, saith the Lord that hath mercy on thee. Saith the Lord that hath mercy on thee. The covenant of my peace shall never be removed. Saith the Lord that hath mercy on thee. Yes, hath mercy on thee. And he does. A rock. It speaks of the nature of the abiding blessing in the Lord Jesus. The stability of grace. Immovable. Love immovable. Did Jesus once upon me shine? Then Jesus is forever mine. If he shone upon you, in your heart, you have received there a kingdom, tokens, harbingers of heaven, a kingdom that cannot be removed. So how vital is gracious experience? You say, but I'm so poor and I'm so needy. Yes, so was your master made so. And so will you be kept humble and poor and needy. But you know, did Jesus once upon thee shine? Did you feel the nature of his love and blessing in a small movement, a small token? And Jesus is forever mine. May you feel it. You see, so a rock immovable speaks of the nature of grace, unchanging, immovable. Love never to be removed. A wonderful truth. And, you know, a rock. We think of a rock and the Lord Jesus in the parable of the man that built his house. And we can speak of building a house, our hope. Our hope for heaven. Our hope for when we come to die. What's it built on? Is it built on the sand? Or is it built on the rock? The sand, of course, I won't go into great details of this, but something that doesn't abide, something that rising water will soak in it and the house will crack and begin to sag down and the wall will come down. Frames and feelings only. Good works only. Chapel attendance only. Devotion only. While right and can be very sweet, friend, it's not a foundation. Not a foundation. For other foundation can no man lay than is laid. Who is it? Christ Jesus. And upon there we build. Jesus Christ, his finished work, the same, yesterday, and today, and forever. Friend, his dying, a poor sinner, friend, a need, one in need, his dying love, his dying grace, his precious blood. Oh, what a foundation. What a foundation. A rock. A foundation, a place to abide in. The Coneys are a feeble folk, yet they build their houses among the rocks. They might be feeble, poor creatures, the Hierarchs, but they dwell in the strongholds, you see, the strongholds, the rock, the foundation. As a strong foundation, the finished work of the Redeemer, your soul led to him. But I think of Augustus, top lady in that storm. You know, rocks do have fissures, don't they? You've seen them many times. Maybe certain rocks, caves or dens or somewhere to shelter. And as top lady, as you know, spoke of that hymn of the wounded side of the Lord Jesus. Rock of ages, cleft for me, let me. Jesus, let me hide myself in thee. See, a rock is a glorious type of the Lord Jesus, his grace. Do you need him this morning? You need him. Jesus is the one thing needful. I thought we sang it, didn't we? I without him perish must. Lead me to the rock. The wounded side of the Lamb, the cleft of the rock. And of course, top lady no doubt had in mind where the Lord spoke to Moses. When he said it, when he passed by him, he'd cover him in his hand, he'd put him in the rock. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee. What a word. And the security of that truth follows, doesn't it? The certainty of that truth follows. And I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. Will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And he said, thou canst not see my face, for thou shalt no man see me and live. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me. This is God the Father speaking through his Son. For it is Christ that spoke as the mediator, even those far off times. But God the Father is showing Moses the glory of his Son. There is a place by me. Jesus at my right hand. There's a place by me where you can come. And thou shalt stand upon a rock. It shall come to pass while my glory passeth by. They will put thee in the cleft of the rock and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by, while judgment comes, When I passed by with judgment, think of the children of Israel in Egypt. Moses had known that. See, the precious blood was that abiding place. I put thee in the side, the cliff of the rock. Lead me there. Lead me to thy wounded side. Lead me to thy precious blood. And lead me to hide there, Lord. Hide me, O my Saviour, hide, till the storm of life be past. Wonderful truth, wonderful mercy. Christ, a refuge, a refuge. Refuge. The rock Christ Jesus. A rock is a secure place, isn't it? You know, dear friend, oh, for living faith, more in exercise, to live under the security of what the Lord has made known to your soul, what he said. Do you remember the days when his voice was precious to your heart? He doesn't change. It's we that change. Blessed, did he ever say to your soul, blessed are the poor in spirit? Have you ever felt it? Theirs is the kingdom of God. You know, concerning that I will cry unto thee, when my heart is overwhelmed, I think of David in another place. This poor man cried. Poor man cried. You know, poor man's cry is a poor cry. But you know, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles. The rock that is higher than I. Friend, the security of the rock as a foundation, as a hiding place, a refuge. In the day of judgment, we've got to give an account of our lives one day, and Jesus is our only security, our only surety, our only hiding place. His blood, the atonement, a forgiving of ours, reconciliation. Lead me there. You see, the end of the earth, when my heart is, lead me there. Lead me there. Lead me to Christ. The rock that is higher than I. Now, what does that mean? Higher than I. Well, we know the Lord is higher than us. We know God, but, dear friend, it speaks of a heavenly blessing. Have you ever prayed, remember, O Lord, thy word, the word unto thy servant? It doesn't come. Remember thy word unto thy servant. Oh, I quote it so many times. For thy word hath quickened me. This is my comfort in my affliction. For thy word hath quickened me. It's in Psalm 119, but I don't. Oh, here it is. Remember the word unto thy servant, upon which thou hast caused me to hope. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. Now, do you remember the word of mercy? Do you plead God's promise to your soul? Do you plead the word of grace he's made known? It's a constant plea all your journey through, isn't it? But I want to come here, the rock that is higher, heavenly. The rock that is higher than I, heavenly, it means a heavenly rock. remember thy word. Now, where did the word come from? Heaven. Your blessing came from heaven. The hope you have in Jesus came from heaven. And you're pleading it. Now lead me there. Lead me to the source of the living stream. Jesus exalted at the Father's right hand, full of grace and truth. Lead me there. Look, when I'm overwhelmed with sorrow, when I'm overwhelmed with fear, when I'm overwhelmed with affliction, when I'm overwhelmed, I'm at the end of the earth, I'm in a dark place, a lonely place, a far off place. Lead me there. Think of Elijah. You know, the ravens fed him. There was the brook, but it dried up. He had to move on. And there, the barrel of meal did not waste, nor the cruse of oil fail. God's appointment. Until the Lord sent rain upon the earth. And it didn't. Tremendous truth. The rock that is higher than I. A heavenly blessing. An eternal blessing. Friend, the blessing of God. Can never, that hope which fadeth not away, can never die. Never die. You know, when David had sinned grossly, terribly, against the Lord in the matter, in the murder, and the adultery, and the lies, you know, grace still stood. There's no excuse. We're not making excuses here. Don't misunderstand. Still the covenant stood firm. You may have not gone to David's extreme, but still the covenant stands firm. It did for David. Thou art the man, says Nathan. But the Lord hath put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die. Now there's grace. Perhaps a greater display of grace than we would normally consider. But it's true as ever. Grace. Forgiveness. The favour and love of God. Lead me here. Oh, lead me here. This is what I want, cries David. I might be at the end of the earth, but that's not everything. I'm sunk into it, but no. Thy God liveth, my God liveth, my God reigneth. Lead me there. Lead me to the promise. Oh, dear friend, oh, the love of Jesus in his gospel made known the sweetness to the poor and the needy. You're a beggar, aren't you? You'll ever be a beggar. Lead me to the heavenly blessing. Friend, if there's a heavenly blessing and the word of promise came down from heaven, the word of comfort came from heaven, the blessing of Jesus came from heaven, lead me there. Why? That's where I long to be. If you love the Lord Jesus Christ, friend, you don't just love him on earth, you know. You love him where he is, because he's promised to bring you there at last. Does your soul ever meditate? Perhaps only a little measure. We can't always meditate, can we? Upon where Jesus is, heaven. Friend, not about the streets paved in gold, or the foundation stones, or the gates of pearls. Friend, Jesus reigning, Jesus shining, Jesus precious, Jesus love. It fills the heart, you know. Lead me to the rock. Lead me to the rock, my hiding place, my surety, my abiding blessing that is higher than, that is in heaven. A heavenly blessing, a heavenly Jesus, an exalted Lamb of God. Lead me there. Lead me there. Friend, that's where you need leading. If you don't, that's where I need leading. And that's where I want to go. And that's where I long to be at times, I can tell you. But we get to the ends of the earth, don't we? In our feelings. We get overwhelmed with fear, don't we? Sorrow. But oh dear Lord Jesus, lead me to thy gospel peace. Lead me to thy eternal comforts. Lord, thou hast spoken, thou hast opened my eyes, thou hast touched my heart. Lord, thou hast made known thy grace. Lord, thou hast blessed me. I believe I have known thee, Lord, I know. Lead me back there. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. The time has run. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I.